privilege it is to be here with you guys this morning. In fact, in many ways, I think if we did nothing now, my heart would say is that you've met with Jesus. I am so blown away by the privilege of being here this morning, by the fact that we get to worship together. You know, there are moments when the band who leads us in worship stop, and I can hear you sing. And I thought, oh, Lord, is this what heaven's like? Is this what it's like to just worship together, to worship a king? The series we're going through this year, and today we have the sixth installment of it, is called Firm Foundations. And if you've been a Christian for some time, you think, ugh, foundations, why must we go over that again? Give me the deep stuff. You know, what must we do? And then the more you go through the foundational stuff, you think, oh yeah, there's stuff for me to learn here, stuff I've forgotten. And so I'm hoping that through these messages about foundations, you get to take something home with you. So last week we touched on relationships. I don't know if you just left it at that door and did nothing about your relationships this week. Or whether God spoke to you this last Sunday that you left here saying, God, I'm going to be obedient to you. I'm going to pick up what you said and I'm going to action it. And if you did, I guarantee you that your heart has changed, you've grown stronger, you've matured in God, and you see things differently. Why? Because you responded. And I hope that today is another one of those days. Today's message or title is called Apostolic Identity. And for some of us, you're like, yo, those are big words in this church. For some have been around for a bit, you hear the word apostolic a lot. And I'm going to give you the short version and then I'm going to expand on it. So the word apostle is just someone who's sent. He's an ambassador, someone who speaks on behalf of somebody else. He has the same authority as the person who sent him, right? And then identity is who you are. And that's a whole big subject on itself, right? Because sometimes we think that teenagers are the only ones who struggle with identity. The truth is, there are seasons in your life when you're like, who am I? Why am I? What am I doing? Today, something of this truth is going to come out to you. You know, if someone says to you, what is a Christian? I don't know if you've ever been asked that question. What is a Christian? Like, a Christian is someone who goes to church. Amen. It was a trick question. So a Christian is someone who believes in Jesus, right? Yes, and a Christian is someone who follows Jesus. It's no good that you know it all here. You know lots of people, you've seen them. Intellectually, you don't want to even talk to them about the Bible because they wah, wah, wah. They got all these scriptures and they clap you with all the intellectual stuff. But you can see something's missing here. Something about the heart has gone missing. Yo, man, a Christian is somebody who loves Jesus and who follows him. Jesus says, I'm preparing a place for you. What's that place? Who knows what the name of that place is? We generally call it heaven. Now, heaven, would it be fair to say heaven's where God is? Heaven is where Jesus is. Heaven is where life is. Heaven is where hope is. Heaven is where truth is. The opposite of heaven is a place the Bible calls hell. Hell is the opposite of heaven. Hell is where there is no God. God is not there. God knows of it, but his presence is not there. Hell is where there's despair, where there is no hope, where there's no Jesus, where there's no life. If you are in Jesus, you are spending eternity in heaven. If you're not in Jesus, you are not spending eternity in heaven. It all starts with a decision I asked you if you made about your relationships last week. And today I'm going to ask you, are you going to make a difference? Are you going to make a decision for Jesus today? God's plan has and always will be that your foundation in him will be solid. God's plan always and has been that you will be called out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of lights. God wants you to live a life that is abundant. God wants you to live a life that is fun. Am I allowed to say fun? Fruitful. And you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to do it, right? You can do it now. This promise that God has made that he wants you to have a life that is fruitful isn't a flippant one. It isn't a promise. It's like, I'm going to be there. You know, all the Hollywood movies are like this. I'll be there, says Daddy. And then, oops, sorry, I can't make it. Something came up. But you understand. God's promises are not like that. He's not that kind of dad. He's not that kind of person. He's not kind of do this and then I'm like, I don't know, but we're not there yet. If you've read the book, it's been around for many years. I've moved the cheese. You know, everyone keeps moving the goalposts. Christianity is not like that. God is not like that. God makes a promise to you. He wants you to live a life that's full. And he says, this promise is for you to live an abundant life. Now, here's the thing, is that God chooses you. The God of heaven speaks your name and says, oi. You know, when the creator of all things, when the sovereign God speaks your name, I wonder whether you can say like, yeah, but you don't understand. You don't know me. God knows you. God knows you. And he makes a promise. And this promise of calling out a people started way back when. Who remembers when it started? It started with a man called Abraham. Now, I don't know why it started with him. The mysteries of God sometimes, right? But it started with Abraham. And God calls this man. He says, Abraham. And Abraham says, yes, Lord. And what does he say to him? Let's read it together. In Genesis 12, it says, now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and from your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And in you, this is the crux, in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Outside of living a life in God, there's no fruitfulness. Can I say there's no adventure? Outside of living a life in God, there is barrenness. But this mandate that God gives to Abraham, he says, my son, would you join me? Would you honor me? Would you listen to me? Would you go and be a blessing to all nations? It's a good story, right? This little book club that we've got called the Bible Book Club meets on Sundays at 9. No, my friend. If you think like that, your moral compass has lost its way. God calls you by name, the creator of all mankind, calls you and says, oi, you, I've got a job for you. I've got a plan for you. And I want you to live your life in me. This is not a kind of a, if you don't do this and that, I'm going to slap you on the back. This is a, if I call you, if you respond to me, you will live your life abundantly. Your thinking will be straight. Your depression will be gone. You're mixed up. Like, what is my identity? Who do I live my life for? Will be finished. It'll be, I know who I live my life for. And I know the call that I have in my life. And these things that I'm messing up with, I'm going to correct right now. It all starts with a decision. Wow. I'm so glad there's some hope. Because I know there's people in the room here that think, sheesh, Lord, I'm so messed up. I'm so glad I've come to church. Because when I get my life right, when I fix myself, then I'm going to come to you. Then I'll turn to you. Then I'll be like, okay, Lord, I'm good enough because I've come to church every weekend this month and now I'm ready to give my life to you. That's not the God of heaven. God says, now is the time. Now is the time. It's a good time right now. Now this, we were mentioning Israel earlier in the Bible. In the Old Testament, there's a lot said about Israel. And if you're reading your Bible as a foundation, can I check with you? Don't do it. Raise your hand if you're not reading your Bible. It's just, like, honestly, you want to be a good Christian. You want to grow in God. You say, what's more? What is there more to do? But you're not reading the Bible. You're not reading the Word of God. I'm like, child, because we're all children in God's eyes. Like, what are you expecting? I want to learn how to fly a helicopter, but you're never going to find yourself in those textbooks because, oh, it's too difficult. But I do want to fly. I want to be a great Christian. I want to make a great impact for this world. I want to be counted for God. But I'm not reading my Bible. It's kind of like the very first thing, right? Read your Bible and pray every day. That's how relationship starts. This call that God gave to Abraham was a crazy thing because it's like this international ministry. God, what did he say to him? He says, go so that all the families of the earth will be blessed. Do you remember that little piece in the verse? All the families of the earth will be blessed. Someone says, what work do you do? Well, I'm in international ministry. Because through me, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. Is your name Abraham? No, but God called me, and now I'm part of this called out family, this called out group of people that God has got. Walk tall and proud. Because me, I'm part of God's kingdom. I'm not some shriveled up, good for nothing that's got lost in selfishness. No, no. I'm a child of God. All these things that try to distract me, I've been set free from them. The problem with Israel in the Old Testament is they did lose their way and they did get distracted. And maybe it starts with busyness. Maybe it starts with a little bit of God's not talking. I asked God for this and nothing came through. I trusted for this and they didn't want to change. And so my marriage has fallen apart, or my parents were this, and my school is this, and my business is that. God didn't come through. This Christian thing didn't work. This church, you know, they keep doing X, Y, and Z. I remove my contribution because I'm going to show them I don't have to support this. Like, maybe, can you hear how it sounds wrong? Can you hear something's up? The children of Israel lost their way. It'd be right to say that they became barren, unfruitful. They were hopeless. They were desperate. I wonder if you're desperate this morning. Desperate enough to say, God, help. God, would you help me? And then comes this promise in Isaiah, and this screams life. If you find yourself in this position, we're going to read it together on screen. Isaiah 54. In fact, it came up earlier in this morning's meeting. It says, sing, O barren one, who did not bear. It's referencing children. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor. For the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. And here's the commission. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations, and you will people the desolate cities. When Jesus saves us into the people of God, we inherit the same call. We inherit the same promise. I don't know if you feel like it, but sometimes it's a bit nerve-wracking to be like, well, I'm not an evangelist, just to pick on those poor guys. Like, if I just stay in my little boundary, it's cool. Maybe you call me a closet Christian. It's great. You know, I put all these little signs on my desk, and maybe somebody one day will be like, oh, what's all this stuff? Oh, you must be a Christian. You hide away from this promise that you're called to. I don't know whether you feel like you're living your life fruitful or abundant right now. Can I jump to the New Testament? There's a verse in Galatians. This thing blows my mind. It says, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Isn't that cool? Like, where's Jesus today? Did you see him this morning? Jesus says, blessed are those who haven't seen me, but have faith in me. If you are those of faith are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture says, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Sure, that thing rescues me because for long as a newborn Christian, I thought, sure, maybe it was only for the Jews. Jesus came as a Jew and that was only for him. But here the Bible says that he would justify the Gentiles by faith. That's me. He preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham and said, in you will all nations be blessed. Thank God for that, because Israel's a bit far from the tip of Africa where we find ourselves. Somehow, some way, somebody responded and got on a ship or a camel and then got on a donkey and, I don't know, made their all the way to Africa. Thank you, Jesus, for men and women like that. God has blessed us too. Oops. God has blessed us too with salvation. Yeah, let's get an elder up there. Thank you. God has blessed us too with salvation so that we can announce the blessing to all nations. This blessing to all nations is a crazy thing. Because I don't know whether you think your world is big or whether you think your world is small. Maybe in your business you get to travel. If you've been over internationally, you think, well, this is me traveling. But if you don't have that privilege of travel, maybe in your mind it's like, sure, it can't be me. You can't be talking to me. You're talking way above my head. Maybe you're talking above my pay grade. Because if I had the bucks, then I would travel. If I had the bucks, then I'd be the guy that says, yes, that's me. I'm the one with the international ministry. But Jesus says to his disciples in Matthew 28, he says to this to his disciples. Now, if you've heard Marcus talk about the disciples before, you know that they were very young. And more than likely, most of us in the room wouldn't have trusted them with making a cup of coffee. But Jesus says to them, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Where were they at this point in their life? In cozy little Jerusalem, right? He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And this is what he says. I want you to teach them to observe all that I've commanded. And behold, I'll be with you to the very ends of the age. In Mark 16, he says something similar. He said to them, go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to all creation, to the whole creation. He says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. It's a crazy, crazy thought to believe a God of love would be this definitive. If you don't choose me, then you don't choose me. But we choose him. God wants you to help others choose him. Because he says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. Are you holding on? It says, in my name, they will cast out demons and they will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now that seems less boring than you expected. In you is the Spirit of God, because you have given your life to Jesus. In you is the opportunity to make a difference in people's lives. Please don't leave here this morning thinking, that was interesting. And don't make me feel good by saying, oh, amazing stuff, Glenn. The Bible says that you are called to more. Not the Mfundisi, not the pastor, not the elders of the church. The Bible says. The Bible doesn't say, I gave a tithe and offering, so therefore, and you know what? I did see that he put more in than last week, so shish. This is why the elders make you come to the front. You know, so they can see. No, stop that. We are called to more. And this more includes a change of mind and a change of heart. In fact, I grew up knowing that there's 1 foot difference between this problem that I've got. I just have to change my heart by 1 foot. Jesus said to his disciples, go into all the world. Now, let's just look at Luke chapter 6. When Jesus came, Jesus called his disciples. He chose 12 of them, whom he named apostles. Now, this is an interesting thing, because I've just told you at the beginning of the meeting that the apostles means that somebody is sent, okay? They are ambassadors of who Jesus is. They're messengers. But he really, if you think about what they did, They went out to all the world, right? They went into many different places. And if you've read your Bible, there's little groups. There's 12, they did their thing. Then there were 72, and then there's a whole lot of others. And they did their thing. I wonder what this thing was. But it probably included things like being a pastor, teaching, evangelizing, or even being prophetic. But the first thing, the first identity that he gives his disciples is to be apostles, to be apostolic. This apostolic identity that they have is not their message, but it's the message of Jesus. Aren't you glad that your opinion doesn't matter? I certainly am, because when I try to play the game on social media and I like stand my little soapbox and I'm like, yes, but, yo, I don't know if you've ever tried that. You get a million responses. All of a sudden you're like viral because you stood for something and their opinion matters and it's crazy. But God calls you into a family of believers and he commissions you like he commissions the disciples. Jesus isn't asking you to become the apostle with a capital A. I don't know if you've met somebody. Our continent is full of people like this. Good day, I'm Apostle Glenn. Or my name's Bishop. You can call me B. You know, titles are a big thing in many circles. But what I want you to understand is God calls you to function. Now you function in many walks of life, many, many walks of life. Some of you are in senior management. You lead things. Is that separate from the call of God in your life? This apostolic identity is given to the people of God right from the call of Abraham all the way through the New Testament, and it comes to an amazing fulfillment when Jesus dies on the cross and he is resurrected again. And this apostolic identity lands up being Christian communities established all over the world. Now you got to ask yourself the fact, like, how can I get involved more in this church? What can I do? Because when I arrive here, at 9:15 to be honest, when I arrive here, the singing started. These guys look amazing. Everyone's in the parking lot. I see the tea's already made. There's people at the door saying, hey, welcome. These guys at the back, the toddler's room. Everything seems sorted. How on earth am I supposed to get more involved in the life of this church? Because certainly when you come to church, it's not a service, right? This is not a service. My name's not Ikurileni. I am not servicing you. All right? Otherwise, yeah, there'll be like service delivery protest out the front door because, I don't know, something went wrong this morning. But God calls you to meet together, to build community together. What are you doing in your community? Is the stuff that comes out of your mouth gossip? Oh, you know what? So-and-so, let me tell you, I'm not supposed to know this, but let me update you. I'm just information. Or is the stuff coming out of your heart positive? And not what you believe is right. What's good for you is good for you. No, the love and the truth of Jesus Christ. There's an apostolic call on every believer. And you know, the interesting thing about this apostolic call on every believer, that's you, by the way, and me, that's all of us, this apostolic call. You remember what apostolic means? Okay, we're called of God to go. Do you remember a church in the New Testament called Antioch? Just recently, for a couple of years, we spent some time in a book called Acts, right? And in the book of Acts is this little church called Antioch. Now, strange things happened in Antioch because it was made up of men and women not unsimilar to you and I. Normal nobodies. Nameless and faceless, just normal people. If I have to ask you in the room, how many of you guys think that you're something? Maybe a handful put your hands up because you're like those A-type personality guys. Like, I'll show you, I can do it. Yes, you want me to make money, I'll make money. You want me to organize stuff, I'll do it stuff. I know people who know people who probably know people, we'll organize. Short of bucks, just let me know and I'll give it to you. But in Antioch, a base church with an apostolic heart, what did they do? They're made up of us, people like us. and they impacted the planet. Here's what happened in Antioch. I'm going to read it with you on screen. It's Acts chapter 11. It says, now those who were scattered from Jerusalem because of the persecution that arose over Stephen. Let me just pause there. Wouldn't it be fun if it's like, it's your fault, Stephen? This persecution that arose, they traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews. So originally they left Jerusalem and they left with this mindset. But there was those people who loved God, who were filled with the Spirit and saw things differently. And what did they do? They were men of Cyprus and Cyrene who on coming to Antioch did what? Oh my gosh, they spoke to the Hellenists, Skanda, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was on them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. This is in Antioch. Oh my gosh, what happened in Bedford View all those years ago? The same stuff. A little group of boys and girls got together, men and women got together, families, and said, Lord, do you think church started like this? If you're a parent of someone who's just left home, do they think they walk out and like, oh, it's fully furnished. Oh, this is amazing. Just like my mom's house, a dishwasher, washing machine. It all just happens, you know? It doesn't. Church, God is building his kingdom and he's using you. Every generation has the same challenge. Please, will you step up to yours? There's an apostolic identity, an apostolic call on our heart that says, will you look further than your nose or your belly button? Because all you do is you look down. Maybe you're looking at your phone, but your belly button's pretty close. Stop it. Look up. Open your heart. Open your mouth. Let people know. Now, this church in Antioch, they met together in public places and they hosted people in their homes. Who remembers how many? There's a number that gets thrown out in the book of Acts. When I think it was Peter preached. And how many were added to their number that day? Who knows how to say it in French? 3 million. A lot of, like 3,000 people got added to their number. Now, every now and then, a very strong personality will stand and be like, are you ready for those 3,000? Are you ready? If what you did was spread the word of Jesus Christ, the truth of the gospel, to someone at work, if what you did was invite somebody to life group, if what you did was invite somebody to church, if what you did is said, can I pray for you? And then they prayed for somebody else. If what you did was lead one person to Jesus this year, and God added to our number, what would we do? Well, we'd build community. That's what we'd do. We'd meet in each other's homes. We'd be just like the church in the book of Acts. We'd get together. We'd be like, come, let's pray. Well, my lounge is too small. Okay, well, you go to another lounge and we'll stay in this one. In Acts 2, it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers. You know, for the most part, our little country is good on fellowship. Anything for a braai, anything. Doesn't even have to be like, doesn't have to be football or any kind of sport, nothing. Just let's get together, my house. So fellowship is big in our culture. Is this big in our culture? Is that we devote ourselves to the teaching of the Bible? Is it big in our culture to the breaking of bread and to praying together? As the story of Acts goes, you see that devotion of these new believers just gets stronger and stronger and stronger. Let me read you something from Acts 20. It says this. It says, I do not shrink back. Paul said this. He said to the Ephesian elders, I did not shrink back from declaring anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house. So here's the thing. Is this like, and luckily you guys are part of Cornerstone Church. Say these words, I'm lucky. You're lucky you're part of Cornerstone Church because this makes sense to you. Cornerstone Church doesn't really meet just in one building, right? You guys have got the biggest building of all the sites within Cornerstone Church, but our vision is not just to stay here. There are 10 sites. And some of them we rent out a spot in Braamfontein. In others, we connected with a Presbyterian church. In others, we like went to the shopping center and say, hey guys, we're nice. Can we rent upstairs? We look for anywhere so that we can meet. Why do we meet? So we can serve tea. So we can be like, oh, so nice to see you. I've got my nice shirt on. Yeah. Look, that's part of what we do. But if we get past that, then what you pray, how you pray, because you're here to pray, because we're together, gosh, man, I feel stronger. You know, it's not about the numbers, but it is, right? I'm going to have a prayer meeting at my house and invite everybody, and then it's Stokselyle, and I'm just alone. Like, okay, Lord, I'll pray. But when you pitch up, because I invited you, when you come through and you speak the life of God into my situation, how do you think I feel after that? People in our midst, in our community are struggling with sickness. God can heal them. And there's a journey that they're on. And when you're in their presence, yeah, sorry, but it's overs, you know? Well, that was helpful. So what about your finances? You know, maybe you just, you know, if at first you don't succeed, maybe failure is your thing. No, guys, we speak the words of life. I'm not saying positive thought. There's lots of that out there, right? Lots of holistic thinking. I'm saying we speak the life of God, the word from the Bible into those people that we meet up with. Now, this apostolic call actually extends itself to people within the life of the church. Let's just have a look in Acts chapter 18. There's a slide there. There's a couple of names. Is it up the screen? No, just click me through to Acts chapter 18, please. The title of the slide will probably say Business People Partnered with Apostolic Gifts. And there's a couple there that get named a lot. Their names are Priscilla and Aquila. Now, they were business people, and in their days, their business was making tents, okay? Okay, well, they had a tent-making business, and they did their thing. But their view of their business wasn't like, well, I'll go to there to say the hallelujahs, and then when I run my business, I'm just a whole different person. Their view of the business was, God has given me this business. God has opened these doors for me. Yes, business is business, but I don't view it with a mindset outside of understanding who God's called me to be. And so these guys partnered with those who are apostolic. Maybe these guys, these business guys, couldn't get out there. They met in, their names are mentioned in Corinth, in Rome, and Ephesus. Like, it's just, if you're a business owner and you are living your business separate from the call of God in your life, I'm going to say there's an adjustment required. I'm not saying you'd be like, oh, I'm going to give all my money to the church now because then that'll keep them quiet. I'm saying, are you partnering with the gospel? Because certainly it's part of your call. Work it out. Maybe that feels like don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm saying God has called us, each and every one of us. If you're unemployed, you are not excluded. Do you feel excluded if you're unemployed? No. God knows your name and has a call on your life. And what kind of call does he have on your life? An apostolic call. Do you have to stand up and be brave in the morning and be like, I'm going to face the day? As much as a business person says, I have to stand up and I have to face the day. Yeah, 100%. People who partner with, can I say the apostolic? People who partner with the apostolic often land up activating others to be apostolic. If you can see an opportunity, and it happened to me, there was an opportunity to step outside of my boundaries. And somebody says, you know what? I've heard your heart. I've heard your prayer. I hear you want to go somewhere. Consider it done. Yeah, but I don't have any bucks. Yeah, don't worry about the bucks. For that person, it was a small thing. For me, it was massive. Now, that doesn't mean that I go to the person and be like, oh, no, sheesh, this shirt looks really old now. No. We're talking about partnering with the gospel. And if you can do that, why don't you get involved? Why don't you activate people? Like, if you're in life groups in this church and you know that it's a very important part of who we are, and you can see that God is touching someone, he's bringing them through, why don't you get involved in their lives? Like, let's pray together. Phone them up and say, how's it going? Read this verse and be like, yeah, God, I read this verse this morning and I thought of you. This mobilization of the priesthood means that you are speaking life, you are speaking hope, you are speaking purpose into the lives of the people that God brings around you. Is that not a good thing to do? It absolutely is. Why? Because you've changed your mindset. All of a sudden, that's how you get involved. That's how you open up your heart to the community that God's put you in. Do you have a home? Would you have life group in your home? Oh, no, but it's, you know, it's not quite fancy pants. I don't serve, I don't know, coffee in crystal cups or I don't know. If you've got paper cups and you don't have enough milk, God brings a group of people around you, and I've seen it even in the group of life groups that we oversee. It's like, there's paper cups, you bring the milk, you bring the sugar, I'll bring a tea bag. We'll make a cup of tea or coffee. The reason we meet, so we can worship God together. I can't play the piano. I know it looks like I should, but I can't. But what I can do is ask some friends for some YouTube clips, and we did it at Life Group, and I put it on their TV, and I'm like, oh, I wish I had a big TV like this, but okay, plug it in the TV, and then we worship. At first, it was weird, because now you've got Hillsong and Bethel and Maverick City, you've got all these guys, you've got all these people in your lounge, and they're not Jono, and they're not Ronald, although let me just say Ronald, great job this morning. Like, honestly, we made a plan, and the plan we made was to worship Jesus together. That's the plan we made. Why? Because it's important. Why? Because I'm seeing further than my little spot here. I'm seeing further than the place I find myself in. My mind, I'm starting to mature as a Christian. I'm starting to grow up. I'm seeing further. I'm activating something inside of me. In fact, I've opened up my heart. Holy Spirit, would you show me? Well, that's when things start to change. That's when, can I say, the magic happens. That's when something you said made the world of difference. Why? Because you prayed for somebody. Earnest, righteous prayer. You saw further than where you're at. You sent these people that went to the Karoo, you sent them messages. Say, hey guys, I heard you. We were praying for you the other night on prayer meeting. Send you a message. Say, this is what I was praying for. What do you think that message does? Not just like, oh, wow, that's an amazing person. No, it opens up your heart to, can I say, the apostolic, because they were sent and they're out there and they're hearing you pray for them. Changes everything, right? That's part of us. It's who we are. Jesus called all of us. In Matthew 28:19, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Call all of us to make disciples. Yeah, but I'm not a pastor. That's your job. Yeah, okay. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's bigger than me. I'm telling you, open up your heart to the Holy Spirit and he will start to use you where you find yourself. Are you willing? Would you open up your heart this morning? Have you invited somebody to church lately? Have you invited somebody to life group? Yeah, but they don't want to come. Well, go fetch them. They're too shy. I know, I was shy too. And then I had the green pill. I was also shy. I'm like, guys, I'm picking on Roland now, picking on Ronald. It's probably been a few years now, but we met at a little men's event that was impromptu. It was terrible. We were supposed to have a briar, it was raining. Somebody forgot the music. It wasn't like the perfect Christian event. I sat next to Ronald, and he shared his story with me. It's his first time. He'd been at Sunday, heard about it, and then somebody invited him, and he came. This is not the only way that you get involved in the life of the church, but it blows my heart away that you would have followed through with the call of God in your life, Ronald. You are an example to us that says it's one step at a time, one step at a time. I'm gonna be obedient today. What do I have to fix? That relationship. What do I have to fix? That attitude. And how do you fix it? Not in your own strength. I'm gonna ask you in a minute to respond. I'm gonna make you all stand, by the way, so that you don't feel left out. I'm gonna ask you to respond. Will you open up your heart to this identity, this foundation that we have as Christians? Will you please open up your heart to Jesus Christ this morning? Go, therefore, into all the nations and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Does that exclude any one of you? In my opinion, it doesn't. I was part of a life group once where we decided we'd send one person on one of these going trips, but I couldn't afford it alone. And so secretly, we got together and we put money in our pocket. And then through the eldership, we said, hey, surprise. When that happens, it blows people away, right? Because you are thinking beyond yourself. A life outside of God is self-centered. It's self-consuming. It's self-edifying. And it is doomed to no eternal value. I'm asking you, have a life that is full of eternal value.